Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hello, welcome. This is Larry Sonnenberg. Steve will be on with us in just a minute. I want to introduce our host for today, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Larry, and welcome back.
And Chris Williams.
Yes, great to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
We want to go right to Steve. This is our first program back after Ireland. And Steve, welcome aboard.
Well, Larry, it's great to be with you. I think the last time I saw you, I was at an airport, and I'm at another airport today. Hi to Jill and Chris.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
Let me tell you where I'm headed. I'm going to North Platte, Nebraska right now to aid in their Charathon, one of the stations that has faithfully carried our program. So you North Platte area folks, I'm coming your way. But Larry, before I got on the plane, I just wanted to thank all those folks that went to Ireland with us. I want to thank you and Rhonda and our whole team. We had another one of those supernatural trips.
It was amazing.
We had guys at the end. I wish Chris and Jill could have been there. I wish all of our folks could have heard this, where they said, you know, we came to see Ireland, but we saw things in ourselves that we needed to change because of the sessions. Dave and Mylon, Mylon Kay helped Mylon out on one, but they were so rich. Larry, you did a session. They were so rich that people did the kind of work you see done at our workshops, and it was so rewarding to me to be part of it. And I just want to encourage folks to get on board with our next one because, man, these are life-changing events, and it just seems like God has his hand on these trips as the other part.
You know he has his hand on it when you're in Ireland 9 days and you're not affected by rain one bit.
Wow.
Just bizarre.
Yeah.
We gave everybody ponchos.
Oh, really? And they didn't need them?
Nobody even, never a reason to take it out.
Well, I saw a few pictures that Becky posted, so it looked beautiful, but I'm sure that didn't do it justice. I'm sure it was far more fabulous.
And the other thing, you know, we get to know folks on our trips, and they confirm what we believe about so many of our listeners, that they're a little bit different than others in the Christian community. They're really looking for answers below the surface. They're not just looking to memorize some verse and tack it onto a problem and think if I learn that, all my life's going to be different. They're really in process and such connectors. And here's what Becky was saying. These folks are so much more revealing about whatever they're going through than you'd find anywhere else. It just forms a bond like I've never seen. And so all of us, I think, at New Life know that transparency, openness, authenticity, that's how we live a healthy Christian life. And we really saw it in the lives of those folks on that trip with us. And I couldn't be more thrilled. And thank you so much, everybody that made that happen.
One of the most affirming things was a couple that were there. A man came up to me near the end, and he said, you know, we came here because it was Ireland. We wanted to see it, but we really came here and see what you guys were like and if you were for real. And he said, you guys are for real,
and
we're going to want to help you out.
That's great.
So that was encouraging. Next year, we're going to Alaska.
Yeah, come join us.
A couple weeks.
I'm going to go to North Platte right now. God bless everybody. Thank you for supporting New Life.
Okay, Steve, have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, well, stay tuned here. We're going to come back and take some calls, but in a week or two, we'll get something about Alaska posted as we get the plans worked out. So we'll be back right after this.
I have suffered and walked through the death of my grandmother and my mother, my stepmother, my son. I've lost my marriage of 30 years.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up November 6th through the 8th in Dallas. Anger, depression, sexual abuse, abortion, grief, and other groups help you focus on just the issue you're dealing with.
I've been stuck.
To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
So here I am, and I've had the most fabulous. Every moment has been just awesome. I wish everybody could experience what I've experienced. I'm not stuck anymore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are here. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and with Chris Williams. And we're going to go to your calls in just a minute. I just want to make, I'll do this a couple times during the program probably. We need to find some folks to support our scholarship fund. We've given away, I calculated it a little earlier, I think about maybe $160,000 or $170,000 worth of scholarships this year so far, but it's depleted. Right now we're below the line. We asked our staff to continue to grant scholarships with the trust and faith that you folks will step up and help us with supporting people that don't have the financial means to get to some of our workshops. So if you're able to give to New Life, it would be a great way to give today by calling in at 800-NEW-LIFE and tell them you want to support our scholarship fund.
Larry, thanks for the warning that you're going to be mentioning this several times. But
well, once or twice.
That you're going to talk about money, right? What else? That is one of your topics. But it is so important, and we see over and over again how people then are granted a scholarship and then they give back. Mm-hmm. Because they feel so blessed. Yeah. So it affects many, many down the road.
And I think the importance of that is that you're not giving to some unknown. You don't know how the resources or money is going to be used.
Yes, we really do give it to someone in need, don't we?
Absolutely. That could potentially change their lives and their loved ones' lives forever.
Yes.
And I was at Every Man's Battle this weekend, the workshop, and I was just looking through some closing thoughts from the guys, because one of them, first thing he said was, I couldn't have come if it wasn't for your scholarship. Thank you. And he had a life-changing experience. So that's why we do it. But let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Angel in Denver. And she listens online. Hello, Angel.
Hello.
How can we help you today?
Okay, well, I have a situation where it is a blended family. Me and, well, we're separated now, so my ex dated for about 2.5 years. We decided we're going to move forward. We bought a house. We moved together. We got engaged. Some anger and jealousy started coming out. I knew that, you know, he'd get angry, but not to the extent that I saw when we moved together. Kind of like a rage, anger, jealousy with my daughter's dad in regard to him. So that went on for about 10 months. We started counseling with our pastor, expression of, you know, I cannot live like this. This will not work if it keeps going this way. We have 5 kids between the two of us. He has 2. I have 3. The last call was about Easter, and some incident happened where my daughter's dad wanted to talk to me about their schedule. We got, you know, it made him really angry, got in my face. This has happened a couple times. Never actually physically hurt me, but more like intimidation. I left. I moved out. We had a house together. But, you know, we do love each other. There's a lot of good things about him. But that situation, I fled from it. And, you know, my background is I grew up as an alcoholic mother. So, you know, I just didn't want to deal with it. That's not the environment I want, but we do love each other. He does say he has a willingness to get better. I know there's things I need to do, too, but I just don't know if this is something we should hang on to or just leave it alone.
Are you married?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so you're not married yet. It hasn't been finalized yet, which puts you in a different position to really evaluate this. You know, you've moved in, so some of the things have gotten triggered that, you know, might have laid dormant. You know, we don't recommend people move in together, but you have gotten to see some things. And Angel, I think this is a time for, it's good, I think, that you guys have moved out and that you both really evaluate and that you see him taking some steps to deal with this rage that is brewing. Because he may want it to stop, he may sincerely want it to stop, but he cannot without help.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I think
I expressed that to him, sorry.
Go ahead.
I expressed that to him all the way, or when it first started, I started seeing it more towards me. When we moved together, I'm like, you need anger management, we need to do something. And so we started seeing the pastor after it happened a couple times, but then it came out in different ways. Like, okay, he was trying to suppress it, but then there was other gestures that would reflect it. And so once I was like, I'm leaving, I'm not dealing with this, then he wanted to start anger management, then he wanted to do all these things. But I, from listening to you guys all the time, I'm learning, okay, that put me in a dark spot and brought out all this old stuff that I had, and that's why I just didn't want to deal with it, and I left. So the 6 months that we've been separated, I've been trying to, you know, read my books, talk to the pastor, go to, you know, I was going to call for other counseling outside of that. But I feel like he uses every excuse to do the opposite of what he should be doing to get better.
Well, Angel, one of the things is that this behavior is really, really difficult to change, and you can't change that. That's one of the kind of almost the telltale signs of what we call adult children of alcoholic, is they get into these conflicted relationships when they get older, and alcohol may be involved, but it could be other dangerous behaviors as well. And the idea is like, oh, if I can change them, then I can bring out the wonderful person that they are. But there needs to be a recognition that you absolutely have no power to change him. And so the litmus test for him is not what he's saying he will do, but what is he doing? And that is the only thing that's going to make that transition. I think that you have that awareness, and you're seeking help as well, which I think is critically important. But just to, again, reiterate that, this is a guy who needs a lot of help, and he is the only one in control of actually going and getting that help that he needs. If there hasn't been any shift in attempts to go and get the help or shifts in behavior, and if he does tend to switch, meaning that like his anger used to come out verbally, but now it maybe comes out in neglect, I don't know, a lot of different ways.
Or passive-aggressively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
We know it's a much, much deeper issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be, you know, not getting angry, taking the trash out anymore. That's deeper work.
Well, and people get desensitized and they escalate over time. You know, they can't believe that they blew up over something. But then over time, it's just commonplace for them to blow up over things or to become controlling. And it sounds like the interaction with your ex-husband is really triggering for him. But I think Chris,
it is.
Yeah. And so there's some deep hurt there.
He doesn't feel acknowledged or appreciated. Mm-hmm. And then I say, why? And there's no validation. It's just like, that's how I feel. And I said, well, and that I'm not compassionate towards his feelings. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to be compassionate to feelings that are invalid. There's no basis for them. We're not inappropriate. We speak about my daughter. That's it. So now, you know, he's saying, well, he's willing to do all these things, whatever. I give him all these resources. Now, 6 months later, you know, I'm in a situation where, honestly, like, all my money went into that new house, is selling my old home. And so now I'm in a situation, it's 6 months out, I don't know what to do. Like, my daughter and dad and I are very good friends. Like, we're co-parenting, we're not trying to see each other, that ship has sailed. So now, actually, recently, like, he sold his house, he's staying with me temporarily, and nothing's going on, but now that's a new thing. Like, oh, now I have to deal with you and him staying together. And I'm saying, well, after 6 months, you've done nothing. We're not together. I'm just in a position right now temporarily to help me save money to buy another home because I can't. And so now this is another issue. But mm-hmm. I'm like, where am I supposed to go? I need to look to the future for myself if you're not going to do what you need to do for us.
Right.
I'm going to ask you two a question. It might be a little bit of a rabbit trail, but what about the issue of marriage? They're separated. Mm-hmm. Should they even get back together and live under the same roof before they're married again?
That's what he wants me to do.
No.
He wants me to go back there, and then we'll work it all out. And I'm like, no, I can't do that because I want him to get better for him. If he just does it for me, then there's the chance of that is way higher of him
reverting
right. back to his
right.
old
so,
place.
So, Angel, yes, his security is in what you do and don't do, right? Mm-hmm. It's not grounded, it sounds like, in his faith or, you know, in working out issues from the past. And, you know, it's highly likely that this stuff started way before you. And that there is stuff in the past that has made him feel very insecure and causing him to be very, you know, possessive and grasping on, like, as if you do certain things, then he will be okay. And that just isn't right. true. And that speaks to what Chris was saying. It doesn't matter what you say or what you do. And someone like this will get you running in circles trying to mm-hmm. better yourself. Right? Because that's what people do who have been in relationship with alcoholics. It's, if I can do this right or better myself, or yeah, he's right, you know, I need to change this, then the focus is off of him. But the thing is, it keeps going up and up and up, meaning the bar keeps moving of all the things you have to do while they never change. And so as hard as it is, I think you need people around you who can support you and tell you the truth. And that if he's willing to get the help, then you'll revisit that issue.
What form of help are you recommending? Counsel?
Absolutely. He okay. needs to be in some ongoing, you know, more intensive therapy, not just a few sessions with a pastor. Pastors are great, but they don't necessarily take you the long haul.
You need
someone who's more trained and who can get to some of his childhood wounds.
I just think, Angel, that in all of the things that you're telling us, that there is something critical that I want you to look at for yourself. And that is to establish boundaries for yourself mm-hmm. to protect you. And that it seems like you make decisions so that other people or other men in your life will have it easier on them. And I think it's about time life gets easier on you. It may feel harder. It may get harder as you look at attending something like Al-Anon, mm-hmm. Other support groups, your own counseling.
Or ACA.
Children
of Alcoholics would be really great for you.
Absolutely. And therefore, what you will be doing is you'll be protecting you, and you'll also be protecting your daughter. And I think that is really critically important here. And I would never recommend that you continue in a relationship that there's this much rage and anger and jealousy in which your daughter is part mm-hmm. of that trigger for him.
Yeah,
she needs to see you protected.
Yeah, she needs to see that you're being strong and doing the right thing, not just the thing that feels easiest, which
yes.
would be to go back. Yeah. And because that would satisfy his anxiety, his abandonment issues, because he's in a panic mode right now. Mm-hmm. So, but that
right.
doesn't help him get help, and that doesn't help you, and it doesn't help your family.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, all the kids. He has two. I have two boys as well. So, I mean, that's the issue with her dad. Like, well, I don't even, you know, if you guys love each other, great, but I don't feel comfortable her going there without, you know, both of us going through counseling and doing things to get better. You know, it's always just something. He does tell me, like, I don't acknowledge, I don't appreciate him. I just throw mm-hmm. his feelings to the side. And I'm like, I learned that I'm in this controlling role and all this because my life has always been chaotic. I am getting that now, but I don't know how to be compassionate towards him when there's no basis for it. So I sometimes I feel bad for that.
And it's very hard when someone is pulling on you like that. And again, it's you need to see him take some steps.
Yeah, so Angel, thank you for calling. I hope that you'll go to a group, go to Al-Anon, mm-hmm. that he'll get some counsel. And I would just encourage you to, if this doesn't work out with him, that in your future relationship with men, don't move in together until you're married?
Well, and even the situation with the ex-husband, guys. Yeah. I can understand why he'd be a little bit upset that she's now living with her ex-husband. Yeah. Now they're separated. Okay, but still, you know, once an ex-husband is an ex-husband, then you don't live together anymore.
Exactly.
Right? He's not the source of supporting you in that way.
Hence the word ex.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because you're no longer married.
Okay. Well, we'll hear the music. We got a break coming up here in just a minute. We'll take a caller right after the break. At the weekend, this weekend at Every Man's Battle, I just want to read a closing thought one of the guys did, because we have another one coming up November 6 to 8 in, where are we going to be? Right here in Orange County. He says, I'm leaving EMB hopeful, having sabotaged my marriage of 18 years with only brief periods of sobriety from my 40-year addiction to pornography and sex. I'm far more hopeful than I imagined was possible. I've learned more about the nature of my addiction, the extent of my woundedness, and the impact of my sin on my family, friends, and others in community than I believed was possible. It's an amazing workshop, guys. Sign up. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me, because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, well, welcome back. We're Dr. Jill Hubbard and Chris Williams and myself, Larry Sonnenberg, here taking your calls. I wanted to just remind you about tv.newlife.com. I went on there this morning to see what was up, and the top banner of the day is part two on the 12 Gifts of Life Recovery. And it's on serenity. Dave had done one already on hope. And then there's six little boxes underneath. Jill, you did one with Dave and Ask Me Anything of trying before you buy. Do you remember that? It was about sex before marriage. And it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I was looking at that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of good stuff on there. I want you to go take a look at it. Go to tv.newlife.com. I think you can go on there and get a couple weeks free before you buy in, but it's an incredible resource, so take a look. Okay, we want to go to line four, and we're talking to, what does that say, Kevin and Devin, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and you're in Alabama, you listen on XM Radio. How can we help you guys today?
Put the phone on the speaker here. I have a 12-year-old son. He's had a lot of personal issues and behavior problems in school.
Are you Kevin? And, just so we know who we're talking
to. Yeah, who are we talking to?
Are you Kevin or Devin?
Yes, I'm Kevin.
Okay.
I'm Kevin.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And anyway, his mom's being frustrated to a point of no end, and we decided to go through the K-12 program to homeschool him on the truck. Everybody thought it was a good idea. We all agreed on it, him, his mom, and me. And I've gone through great lengths to get him on the truck. And but by the time I could get him on the truck, it was 3 weeks later than the school had the school started. And my company's policy was he had to be 12 years old to get on the truck. So by the time I picked him up to get him on the truck, he's 3 weeks behind in school, although he's telling me when I talk to him every day that he's keeping up with schoolwork. And now he's at the point he doesn't want to do the schoolwork. I've taken him to intervention programs. I've taken him to talk to the pastors at the church. Relatives have talked to him. And now he wants the easy way out, which is to go back home. And, I mean, I know it's ungodly, and I know it's a horrible thing, but I have just got to the point with him in frustration that I have told him, when I take him home, don't call me no more. I won't call you no more. Don't bother me, and I won't bother you. He doesn't want to do the schoolwork. Today he starts the day off wanting to watch a movie, and I'm just at the point, you know, do whatever you want to do, but just don't bother me. And I don't know what to do with him anymore. I've already got one son that's in prison doing some 30-some years. He's talked to him. And it's just, no matter what I've said, no matter what I've done, I can't get across to him the importance of trying to have a life in Christ and trying to get a good education. And I am just at wit's end. I don't know what else to say to him.
Yeah. Kevin, Kevin, you referenced his mother. Are the two of you married still? You and his mother?
No. Okay. No, we're not married.
Okay.
We're no longer married.
Okay.
Okay, Kevin, I have, it may seem like a strange question for you, but I think it's important. What's your relationship like with your dad?
My father's deceased.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
When I grew up as a child, my father was in the home but not in the house, if you know what I mean. He was not instrumental, he was very little in being instrumental in raising me and my brother to be a man, but yet he was in the house.
Okay.
My father never told, I can't remember in my childhood my father telling me that he loved me.
Yeah.
And I have always told my children that I love them, and I do. I love them with all my heart.
Yeah.
So I've tried, I'm not in the house with my son, Devin, but I'm trying to be as instrumental as I can on one day he has to be a man and face this cold, cruel world on his own.
Yeah, and Kevin, that's really what I want to address, is that you have an experience with the world that is tough, that is difficult, that is incredibly challenging. If I could say what I'm picking up from you, that it's primarily negative, and that you have a lot of fear for Devin, that when he gets older, and maybe, you know, God forbid that he end up like, you know, your older son, and you're wanting to do everything to prevent that. And when he doesn't cooperate, what I'm hearing is that you get really, really angry and frustrated to the point of not even wanting to be in contact with him, at least at the moment that you're feeling the anger. And there's just a couple thoughts that I have to begin with. And the first one is, it is a really hard thing to do, and that is learning how to be with our children before we have them do something for us. And that's just another way to say connection. And the pain of your story that I'm hearing is that your father really never tuned in and connected with you. security and safety in the world comes in relationship, in a togetherness, in that people are with me. And I love that Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. And I believe Devin right now needs to know that in his defiance, that you are with him. And we're about to go to break here. And when we come back, we'll help you out more with this. We'll address it a little bit more.
Okay, hold on, Kevin. We'll come back right after the break.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month. That supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hello, we're back. And we're talking to Kevin, and I think his son Devin's on the line also on a speakerphone. Is that right, Kevin? Kevin, you there?
Yes, sir.
Is Devin right there, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Could we
if
talk,
you could allow
could we
him
talk
to
express him?
Himself, he,
sure.
He may have something he wants to
yeah.
say.
Devin, why don't you let us hear from you?
Yeah, what are you feeling, Devin? What are you thinking?
I don't have nothing to say.
Nothing to say?
Okay.
If we ask you a question? As your dad was talking about how frustrated he was, are you feeling frustrated too?
Doing work, yes.
Okay. What's the most frustrating part?
Fraction.
Oh, okay.
The
subject
math.
Matter. All mm-hmm. right. Okay. And is it the case that there's nobody to help you with that?
No.
All right.
Okay. So, Devin, in school, has school been pretty frustrating when you don't know how to do something?
Yes.
Okay. And now, have you had teachers come alongside you? It sounds like your parents feel like they've tried everything.
Yes.
You have. But that hasn't really worked.
No.
Yeah. No. Devin, do you find that you get overwhelmed and you just want all the bad feelings to go away?
No.
No? Okay. Hmm. Okay. So you don't get overwhelmed by this. But do you have any feelings about not being able to do the work? Or not being able
yes.
to figure it out? Mm. Okay. Does that upset you?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Maybe a little bit yeah. it upsets you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it would upset me.
It would upset me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. because a lot of times the school system, it's geared, you know, towards the large masses, and they teach really to just one type of student.
Yeah.
And if you're a student that learns differently, you fall outside of that realm, and it can be really frustrating. Yeah. And especially they find with boys. Boys have a harder time in the classroom setting. Mm-hmm. So if there's subjects that you really struggle with and they're teaching in a way that really doesn't, you know, connect with you at all, then I could see where you would feel like, I just don't get this.
Yeah.
And I just want to do something that I do get mm-hmm. instead of this. And you know, it sounds like your dad is, you know, he's frustrated and feeling very ineffective with how to reach you. But I imagine that you're feeling ineffective with how to connect with the things that everybody wants you to do. I don't know. Yes. Does that make sense?
Devin, what's the best part about being with your dad on the truck?
That I get to be with him.
All right. There you go. So yeah. if you could design the next week with your dad on the truck, what would it be like?
I don't know.
I mean, would you do school part of the day? Would you do no school at all? Would you be sitting up front with him and just talking and enjoying life? What would it be like?
No school.
Okay. So school, yeah, no pressure of school.
But you really like being with your dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
You're back? Did you hear that? Did you hear that your son really likes being with you?
Oh yeah, and that's part of the reason I have him on mm-hmm. the truck is I want to be with him. He needs to be with me and I need to be with him too.
Well, Chris, talk a little bit more about the relationship we were talking at the break.
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, to understand what's happening in our brains, we actually work best, especially when we're learning something new, when things are less stressful.
Yes.
Especially for kids. And so if there's this high stress, high pressure environment, and there is this ineffectiveness, I think we've all kind of experienced that in our mm-hmm. lives of like the terror and fear of not being able to do something, and everyone in our world expects us to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's so
right.
paralyzing, and we can't learn. And I also think this, Kevin, I don't know about you, and I don't want to speak for you, but I'm not going to homeschool my children because I'm not that good of a teacher. And so as far as all of the subjects, there are people that trained and have master's degree and stuff, mm-hmm. and they're in the classroom or there's those resources. And I'm just wondering, Kevin, for you, if there are more resources out there for you and Devin where it can take you out of the teacher role and back into the father role, but Devin still get the education and the progress in education that he needs.
Oh, okay. He's in a Nevada virtual academy. He has online classes. I'm not the teacher.
Okay.
I'm the learning coach.
Got it.
That requires participation on my part, so they send books that I need to read to help him do what he needs to do. Now, he's had a problem with fractions.
Yeah.
Okay, one day, when I realize he's got a problem with fractions, stop driving, try to help him with it. There was something that I didn't remember about fractions, so I got on YouTube, and they've got some simple tutoring on fractions.
Yeah.
He was behind in the classes because for that 3 weeks there, yeah, he logged in and went to class, but he wasn't doing the assignments because he chose to sit there and play video games all day. So therefore, when I picked him up, now we got to play a game of catch-up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to coach him in the game of catch-up, but at the same time, like for instance...
But what we've already established is that when Devin can't do something and he feels ineffective, then he just diverts his attention, right? It just doesn't sink in. He's not connecting.
It'll trigger a fight, flight, freeze response, and
yes.
It sounds like he freezes.
He does.
And he outlets through video games.
Mm-hmm. 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 And, you know, if you haven't already, I think it would be a good idea to do some educational testing.
Yes.
To see, you know, where are his strengths? Where are the areas that he struggles in? And, you know, instead of continuing to teach him in the same way, I almost think being with you would be, how do you apply these concepts to life? Mm-hmm. How do we use fractions in life?
Yeah.
Where does this come about where you can give real life examples of mm-hmm. things? Being a little more creative instead of just, okay, we've got to do this thing that doesn't connect with me in any way. And then I'm wondering, instead of a virtual classroom, and I don't know if this would work with your driving, but there are schools where you go in once a week for one-on-one, and mm-hmm. you work at your own pace, and you work with someone until you get the concept, and then you move on to the next thing.
Well, that wouldn't work. I mean, they tried to put him in that, but because I'm all over the country, there's no way that I could get him to a specific classroom at a specific time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I've explained this to him that he's gotta put the effort in, and from my perspective, it's just the lack of desire, the lack of willingness.
But okay, but there's meaning behind that.
It's not that simple.
It's not that simple. He's not just being stubborn. It comes out that way, but children avoid what feels too unpleasant,
mm-hmm.
right? Too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And he gets defeated, right? And hopeless in this, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because he sounds like a sweet kid.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a very sweet kid. I love him dearly, and he's a lot of fun to be around.
Well, but, and Kevin, if I could just land it here, I want to give you just kind of a perspective, and hopefully a perspective change. Sometimes in our lives, we, whether it be wives, children, friends, coworkers, we end up with contentious relationships mm-hmm. where we feel against the person or they feel against us. In today, what I hope that we can help you do is that going from against Devin in his education to going with him, that you are with him, that you're on his side and he's on your side, and that you are working together for the same thing. And I know that being 12 and all the other things that have gone on in Devin's life, he may have a hard time getting on anyone else's side, but he first needs to know that you're on his side.
Kevin, we appreciate your call. Devin, too. And, you know, it's tough. But I want Kevin, I'd like you to hear what Chris said and Jill, and the real important thing here is that relationship with your son. Mm-hmm. And if you just get frustrated to the point that you're going to send him away and don't come and talk to me again, that will harm that relationship for a long time. And he's a young man and he needs you. Mm-hmm.
You have to avoid the power struggles. Yeah. When you find yourself going there, you just have to step out of it and almost set it aside and connect and spend time, mm-hmm. even if you spend a week or two not doing schoolwork.
And he'll remember that for the rest mm-hmm. of his life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're on hold, we're out here another hour. We're going to get more calls, another one yet this hour. We'll be back right after this.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and the different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Artiburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid.
But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. And we want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDare.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Dr. Jill and Chris Williams are here. I'm Larry Sonnenberg. Just a couple quick things. Marriage Solution Workshop and Healing is a Choice coming up November 6th. It's in Dallas, Texas. And if you're a Club New Life member, you get a discount to those workshops. But those are great workshops. Give us a call about that. And then the following week, November 13th in Washington, D.C., Women in the Battle. If your husband has been or should go to Every Man's Battle, this is a workshop you're going to want to go to. Speaking of Every Man's Battle, we have a caller here, I think, that wants to ask a question about that. Let's go to Molly, Washington, D.C., listens to us on WAVA. Hello, Molly.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, a little over a month ago, I found out that my husband was having an affair. And this week, I heard about the Every Man's Battle through your program, and I had him go. I pushed him to go, and he went grudgingly. But he was set to leave, you know, in the morning for a job, and was really afraid of that. But I'm so thankful that he made a decision to stay for the whole weekend. He returned last night, and I didn't know how that was going to be or how that was going to, I didn't know how to be around him. And so I just, you know, I just decided to just be as normal as I can and, you know, just said hello and also, you know, gave him something to drink or offered a snack or whatever. But my question, my real question is, you know, how does, you know, a wife handle after, you know, their husbands have come from Every Man's Battle? And, you know, he offered no conversation about it. I didn't ask. I wanted to, you know, give him the opportunity to be the one to open up and share with me whatever he experienced over the weekend. And but mind you that, you know, my husband is not the type that, you know, is one to share or is emotional or is open to.
Well, that's one of the things we help. That's one of the things we help him with at Every Man's Battle, mm-hmm. is learning how to open up, to learn that intimacy doesn't always involve sex, that intimacy is opening up and letting people in. So
right, and I, you know, I just waited, and I thought, okay, I'll just wait until he's ready. Now, should I at some point ask him, you know, not
yes.
giving you time to relax or whatever? And
yeah, you know, absolutely, Molly. I mean, your husband's had an affair. You know, you have a right to know some things. And I think, you know, I want you to kind of think about how your pattern has been. And are you playing out kind of this same pattern where you're constantly just waiting for him and there's not interaction?
No, I'm usually...
Okay, so this is different.
I usually confront him.
Okay.
About anything, about questions and things like that. And, you know, even confronted him about this affair and things like that.
So this is different. So I might say to him that, you know, you really want to know how the weekend impacted him. But you're willing to wait, you know, until he's ready, as long as it doesn't feel like it's indefinite, that
yeah.
it's, will be hard for you to wait, but you're willing to wait until he's ready to talk about it if he needs a few days.
Yeah. And Molly, right. I don't want this opportunity to pass by without right. telling you that Women in the Battle is exactly where you need mm-hmm. to be.
I've already determined that I was going to go to that.
Excellent. Oh, perfect.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wives in the Battle Forum, and I've been getting a lot of help from women, and some of those women's husbands did go to Every Man's Battle, so
good.
I have that online support right now. But my husband's not one to really be comfortable in sharing, and I unpacked his bag for the weekend, you know, getting all his dirty clothes and unpacking whatever, and, you know, his workbook was in there, and I don't know if I should have been doing this or whatever, but I read through it, and mm-hmm. you know, the page where it's about the tactical and practical, 5 minutes of this and 5 minutes of that, and you know, this weekly and all that.
Mm-hmm. The battle plan.
You know, I don't know if he's going to do those. I don't know if he's open
what
to
if,
doing those. I don't know if I can help him with that because he's not a Christian.
Hmm.
And he's not comfortable, and he doesn't know how to do those things.
Well, what if you ask him in the next day or two, say, I saw there was a notebook, a workbook. Would you have time to sit down and just share a few things out of that with me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in what you learned and how this is going to affect us, and just ask him.
Right.
Yeah. And Molly, I heard you use the word confront 3 times mm-hmm. in regards to your husband. And then I hear you unpacking his bags, doing his laundry, checking up on his homework. It actually sounds like a mother-son relationship more than like a husband-wife relationship. And that he has seemed to, in some ways, and I'm maybe speaking beyond what I know here, kind of taken his ball and gone home, meaning that like he has kept his life to himself. He's not going to let anyone else in. And that you're having to do everything you can to pull out what's going on inside of him. And I would encourage you to reverse that process. And instead of confronting him, I want you to let him know exactly what you're feeling, what you're thinking. I want him to know your anxieties mm-hmm. and your hurts and your pains, as opposed to, again, trying to manage him into a different way. Because you'll just encounter more resistance the more you do that.
Right. So how would I?
Have you done that?
Just telling him, hey, this is how I feel, or this is what I'm confused about, or this is what I would like to know.
Yes.
Do you not do that?
I do, and when I use the word confront, I just lay it out there of what I. Feel is going on, or what I think is going on, and then I ask him, "Is that true?" Or you know, any situations that have come up regarding either cheating or that I'm suspicious of him, you know, having flirting or having an affair, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, hey, what's going on? I'd like to know. Is this happening? That's what I mean by confronting him.
And those questions are very, very important and very legitimate. And I want you to also be able to let him know, again, what you feel about that. What is your experience around that? You know, what's your anxieties and your mm-hmm. hurts and your pains?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, he didn't write anything in any of those workbooks, which is not
okay. But you're
which is not surprising to me because he's not one to just work on a workbook. He's just never
okay. But you're trying to figure him out instead of allowing him to come to you and meet you halfway. And so part of what Chris is saying is you need to meet him in the middle by saying, you know, this has been a very hurtful time for me. I'm really, you know, kind of holding on. And feeling really anxious. I feel really upset about our marriage. I'm really wanting us to be in a different place, you know, and expressing just your angst over it all. How hurtful.
I have.
Okay.
I really have.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, in a very, very calm way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, at this point, you know, I just want to be a support to him, but at the same time, you know, I need to see some signs that he's, you know, wanting to work at. And yes, he does. He wants to.
Okay, but I want to. We're out of time. I'm sorry. We're going to have to go. Thank you for tuning in. We will look forward to...
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.